What's going on, everybody? It is week 7 in the NFL, and it's time for another edition of the Mojo Break Blitz. Cody, Dan, and Doug with you as always. And if you're watching this on Friday when we drop this, you might be saying, week 7's already started. Eagles-Giants happened last night. And to that, I'd say all games with NFC East opponents do not count from this point on. We just ignore those as they are just complete
garbage.
I want
to be in the NFC East.
Yeah, right? Wouldn't I feel like every other team in the NFL would be like, I'll take that NFC East spot high right here. the Eagles now clinging on to that top spot in the East. What now at 2-4-1? Is that the record? Just atrocious. Terrible. So let's not talk about that. Let's talk about week 6. Recap that real quick in the NFL. We had a classic in the AFC South, the Titans and the Texans, a game that I thought I was feeling pretty smart, guys, when the Texans tied things up late in the game, thinking, here you go, here's the turnaround for Houston. And then Derrick Henry did Derrick Henry things. We're going to talk about him in a little bit. But, Doug, I'll start with you. Just some of your main takeaways from week 6 in the NFL.
First off, that Patriot game, that was like a field goal bowl. I think the Denver McManus has won that game 18-12, which was what I didn't expect out of a Bill Belichick offense, to score 12 at home and not get that offense going. So that was kind of weird. And then Baker turned into Faker in a matter of a week. So the Browns were looking good, and then they just absolutely looked like what they looked like last year against the Steelers.
I felt it was a little premature on pulling the plug on Baker. I mean,
yeah, I think he's still got something in him.
Browns, like, they're in it. Every quarterback's entitled to having a down game, right?
I don't think this is our starter. I think it's like we're going to punish him for being bad for one game. Right?
Yeah, because that builds confidence. The Browns need to figure out, like, from the front office to the head coach, like, they need to just clean house. It's not Baker's fault.
I mean, they're still 4-2 or something.
Yeah, I still believe in Baker. I think they, I think the hook is just a little quick on that. Tom Brady's legit, right? Tom Brady coming in. Aaron Rodgers, yeah. Green Bay Packers look like, best team, one of the best teams in the league. Tom Brady was like, look at me, NFC. Look who's here. Watch out.
Yeah,
watch out.
Like the biggest statement of the week.
Watch out. Way. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't even close. The Rams game is tough. I actually didn't want to do this show. I didn't want to talk about football. It's tough.
Well,
it's tough. It's doom. It's doom and gloom in LA right now. But
When you go up against the possible comeback player of the year right now, Jason Verrett for the 49ers is
who?
Like, yeah, I'm telling you.
Who?
Look at what he's doing Verrett's right playing, now on defense. Pro Bowl I'm things. Just saying.
Kind of looks like Richard Sherman.
I think
he's played
what? 20% of the possible games he could have played in his career.
It's yeah.
And just so happens the one game he figures it out is against the Rams.
Don't sleep on Emmanuel Mosley either.
Honestly, the Rams don't want to make excuses. They should have won that game. They never turned it on. Cooper Kupp dropping a touchdown in the end zone. That could have changed the game. Sam Sloman. Yeah, you're probably like, who? Who's that? That kicker needs to get out. They just signed Kai Forbath. I think Sam Sloman, the rookie kicker, I think he's on his way out. You can't be missing extra points. I know it happens every week,
You give Goff that big contract, can't sign Greg the Leg. So,
what's Legatron doing in Dallas? Unless Legatron could start throwing the ball, it doesn't really matter. Because that's another thing. What are we gonna do about the Cowboys quarterback situation? What do you think?
Dinucci. It's time.
Yeah, I mean, that's.
I heard some rumblings of Fitzpatrick. I don't know. I mean, I'd like to see a little bit more from Dalton. I mean, Dalton historically doesn't perform under primetime games, which I know is a horrible thing to say.
Yeah,
Dalton—he's
never done it.
Dalton doesn't usually perform on any days that are Sunday,
any days ending
Thursday,
yeah.
or Monday.
Right. No, I don't know.
But I'll tell you, Tuesday, Wednesday.
No, they've got a. I think they've got a regular scheduled game. They're not primetime this week, so I expect. the Red Rockets to bounce back and have a big game for the Cowboys, because it basically his career's on the line at this point. I think if he has one more bad game, I think they're going to look for either Dinucci or get somebody in a trade. And the weapons are there. I mean, Zeke fumbling at least twice,
I think,
right?
He fumbled twice.
Twice. I mean, that was very hard when you have your star player basically screwing the pooch on that one. So we'll see. I want to give Dalton one more week to show his stuff.
Yeah, I suspect the Cowboys are going to do the same thing. But you mentioned Ryan Fitzpatrick, which is a perfect segue to our first big topic. I know the Dolphins aren't playing this week, but really in the hobby, I think the biggest story of the week is the fact that Ryan Fitzpatrick, who has gotten the Miami Dolphins off to a surprising 3-3 start, has actually looked great at times, a huge game against the 49ers a few weeks ago. He is now going to be on the bench after a huge win against the Jets. I think they shut them out or close to a shutout in that game. And it's Tua time, for real this time. Are you guys surprised that it happened this early? Dan, I'll start with you. And, yeah, do you think maybe Fitzpatrick kind of didn't get a fair chance here?
I don't think so. I'm a big Fitzpatrick fan. I've always liked Fitzpatrick. Fitzmagic, it's great. It's a real thing. I think this decision came from the top above. I think this came from either ownership or a GM position, because didn't Brian Flores come out and say that a couple of weeks ago? He's like, if I was his father or something like that, I wouldn't want to put him out there until he's fully ready and understands the offense or whatnot. But like, he kind of like said that he wouldn't put him out as a starting quarterback, that he was not ready. And then 2 weeks later, after the Dolphins win two games in a row, now the whole story's changed, and now we have Tua time. I think this was from up top. I think this was a top of the organization type of call.
Well, see, now that I'm thinking about it, I almost think that this was in the plans in the preseason. They looked and they saw that they had their bye week seven, and they're like, well, that gives plenty of time for Tua to get a little bit in the offense and basically have that week off to prepare for the next game. He's back. He's 100%. He's ready to go. I think regardless of the record, I think that's what was going to happen, because you got to remember, the NFL isn't like, you know, we compare Aaron Rodgers with Brett Favre scenario. That was in the non-salary cap era. These guys were basically getting paid a lot more, where you maybe had to rush guys out there. I think right now you could just draft another quarterback if Tua doesn't work out. So the Dolphins, I believe, have a good team that they want to know what they have in Tua, and if he doesn't work out, doesn't pan out, they can maybe plan for the future in that regard, rather than worry about maybe his mental or his maybe obviously he can't be injured if they're going to start him. So he must be 100%. But I think they want to know what they have. And that defense is good. They've got some decent offensive weapons, and they have a lot more draft picks going forward too. So they may want to know what they have in this kid and if this guy is going to be their franchise quarterback.
I don't know, man. If you're like one in five, I can see making this.
Sure.
You're 2-4, 2-3, whatever.
But Fitzpatrick your future, though.
I think at this moment, coming off of two wins in a row, you're 3-3. Fitzpatrick gives your franchise the better chance to succeed and win games. And I know he's not the future, but why rush Tua? Why? It's not going to look good if he either comes out and gets injured, or if he comes out and he throws four interceptions. That isn't going to work out well.
Well,
for him.
And you have that whole left-handed scenario too. Now the receivers are going to have a different spin on the ball coming out of Tua's hand compared to Fitzpatrick's hands too. So you may have I wouldn't be surprised if that first game that there is more drops. I know these guys are professionals, but you do something one way and now you have something in another way. It's gonna basically affect him in that regard. But I think you got to see what this kid has. I think you have to see it,
Doug. When you mentioned that about I didn't even think about that factor. I think now it is kind of starting to make sense why this happened when it did, as they're going into the bye week. Now they've got a full couple of weeks here to get used to the difference, to get him used to the offense. In a way, it kind of feels like whether they were 5-0 or they were 1-0, or
they planned it out, I think.
This was kind of always the plan. It was for them to give the team to Tua at this point. And I will say, to play devil's advocate here, Fitzpatrick – other than, you know, that game against the Niners really boosted the stats. But you look at his stats overall for the year, he's just kind of in the middle of the pack among quarterbacks. And I know that's sort of the more analytical approach, and I'm sure that's what the front office is probably arguing, is that, look, he's not, like, the absolute best guy. We're not taking Tom Brady in his prime out here. We're taking out Ryan Fitzpatrick near the end of his career, kind of in the middle of the pack among starting QBs this year for a guy who could be a top five QB if everything pans out. So I think that the timing is not ideal here, clearly, but I wonder if they truly do believe this is a win now move for this team. I looked at their strength of schedule going ahead here. I think they've got like the 12th toughest schedule going ahead. So it's not necessarily, they're not throwing into the fire, but it's not going to be a totally easy road.
And this is the thing. I mean, you get this with all these franchise quarterbacks. So if they believe that Tua is a top five quarterback, in 4 years, this guy is going to get $50 million a year, which is going to basically cripple their cap space on getting anybody. So the sooner they start him on his four-year deal, the sooner they can build and find pieces that are going to fit with what he does and decide, oh, is this receiver going to work? Okay, or what are we going to need to draft next year? So now they're going to get basically 10 games of Tua to find out what his strengths are. Maybe he runs to the right more, and maybe the right guard isn't as good of a blocker as, say, he was for Fitzpatrick, who's more of a stone feet pocket passer. So now you need to draft a right guard or what, you know what I'm saying? So now they have the data to try to get and capitalize during that window, because if they, like I said, if they believe that he's going to be a franchise quarterback, then they're going to have only 3 years left on this contract before he's going to get 50, 60 million, and then you can't sign anybody.
I disagree. Fitzpatrick, for being a 37-year-old man, could run faster than both of us combined.
Well, yeah.
He's not stone, feet.
Stone feet compared to Tua.
No, I mean, well, we'll see. But I don't know. I think it's a little knee-jerk reaction from the front office, and I think it's an unnecessary risk. And I get what you're saying. Like, you want to see what you have, but do you need to at this time? Like, can't you basically have him sit? And if you go on a loot, like, kind of what, I mean, remember Mahomes starting the last game of the year that was pretty much meaningless to get him, like, in the flow of the game when Alex Smith was the quarterback?
Yeah.
They had him get, like, a game. Well, you could have done that with Tua. He is going to be the future, but I mean, what are you going to find out? Like, what if he actually has a terrible rest of the season?
Are you gonna
draft another quarterback? Are you gonna basically in the first round? You're gonna be like, well, we threw Tua out there, and maybe he's not what we thought he is.
Probably not, but they might go for a third round QB or a second round QB at that point. I mean, yeah. I don't know. I mean, I probably, as a Dolphin fan, you probably do want to see Tua at that point. You want to see what you got. I mean, that's why you.
Or you can't be you worried about putting in the first meat, round. Can't be worried about putting meat in the seats.
No, well, I guess the other thing comes to this is, like, what's the best case scenario for a Fitzpatrick team? Maybe 8-8, maybe 9-7. Whereas, yeah, you might, maybe this team now is 5-11, 6-10 with Tua, but I guess it's just the risk reward that they truly believe there is a chance that this is maybe a 10-6 team with Tua under the center. Just real quickly, want to look at some of the cards. Obviously, two cards here that sold for big amounts, but it's specifically the dates. If you're listening to us, October 20th, that was the day both these cards sold. That's the day, of course, that Tua got announced as the starting QB. And these, I think, were like two of like the four highest selling Tua cards to date on eBay. Where are we at with his card value? Where do you think it's going to end up at the end of the year? Is there any chance that he could end up eclipsing maybe Joe Burrow by year's end?
I mean, he's in the best situation out of them all. I mean, I guess the Chargers could make a run, but I don't think the Bengals are going to win enough games to be even in the conversation. I mean, if he starts winning some games and they're 6-3, 7-3, 8-3 in the next few weeks, then I think there's going to be just Tua mania going on. Yeah. I mean, that XRC that you shown, that's an awesome card to mention too. Those XRCs were inserted into the prior year of Select, so you can pull them in 2019 for 2020, and that's numbered to 10. I think those cards should be definitely more valuable than I think they are, but they are starting to climb up. But back to Tua here. You know, the sky is the limit. Dan, what do you think? Would you be selling right now, or would you be holding?
I think you really have to assess how he is going to perform his first week or two as a starting quarterback, because right now you can sell the bump of him being named the starting quarterback, so you're going to get a lot of eyeballs, a lot of people searching for cards, trying to speculate that he's going to outperform expectations. I right now would probably not sell at this moment, but I may have an auction ending if I had some Tua cards Tuesday or Wednesday of next week, right before going against the Rams. Mm. They do have a bye this week.
Yeah.
So I would probably
sell. His first game is against the Rams?
His first game is against the Rams. Road game, no fans, so I mean, don't have to worry about that. Yep. But getting back to like actual the performance, there's the other aspect that, and what Cody was saying, like they may go 5-11. Who knows?
Yep.
They can go. but if that happens, offensive coordinator can get fired, head coach can get fired. So now you have Tua and the stuff that he learned and the system that he learned, he has to learn it all over again. So essentially, he is going to regress and go backwards. So I think you keep Fitz out there. He goes 9-7. They may be able to make the playoffs. The whole staff may be able to keep their team.
Well, let's look at the Dolphins schedule. Keep talking. I'm going to pull up the Dolphins schedule. But
but getting back to the value, I would basically, I would sell and have my auctions end mid next week before the game, and not do the speculation and just cash out with against the people who are speculating that he's going to overachieve in his first game. Yeah.
So this is tough. I mean, his first game is against the Rams, which, mm-hmm. you know, obviously Aaron Donald is one of the best in the league.
Absolutely.
And then he goes against the Cardinals, who have a good front mm-hmm. as well. And then he goes against the Chargers in Miami, which they have a good front. Broncos, Jets, that's a win. Bengals, which will be to a Burrow, would probably be pretty cool for the hobby. Then the Chiefs, then the Patriots, then the Raiders, then the Bills. So, I mean, theoretically, just looking at this, you got a win on the Bengals, maybe. You got another win on the Jets. But the other ones, I'm not too sure. So that's saying that that's 5-11.
Yeah.
I mean, depending on what type of front you get with the Rams, if you get the defense that played against the Eagles or played against the Redskins, then it's a terrible, terrible game for Tua to start his career.
Yeah.
He's I mean, we're going to see how mobile he truly is, because he's going to be running for his life.
They lost by 10 points to the Patriots, they lost by 8 points to the Seahawks, and they lost by 3 points to the Bills. But that division is actually a little bit tougher than you think, mm-hmm. you know, with the obviously with the Patriots, Bills, the Jets are an easy one, but that's a tough division. I mean, he's definitely going in on their harder part of their schedule.
Yeah.
I think you can wait. I don't know, man. I don't. Well, we'll see. I mean, everybody wants to see the bright new shiny. It's like having a sports car and not taking it out for a spin. That's I get right. it.
I think exactly. It just breaks down to that 4-year window, and then, you know, like you kind of can see, like you use the model of what happened with the last big first overall pick was Sam Bradford before they changed the format of how QBs got paid. And the Bradford, I mean, if he was healthy, they may have won, but he crippled that team. He crippled your team. His salary basically prevented them from signing anybody else. And then they had to roll with him.
He crippled that team, and we had some terrible draft picks. We had a terrible offensive line, and every year we were drafting an offensive lineman in the top 5 picks, and they were a bust.
Yeah.
So we couldn't protect a guy who could not stay healthy.
Yeah.
I'm not a GM, but that is a recipe for disaster.
You also can't go ahead and sign, like, I don't know, you know, the the top lineman that's available on the free agent market. You can't give them $10-20 million a year that they're going to be worth because you don't have any money because you paid it to your quarterback. So I'm just saying that those windows are smaller every time some quarterbacks get drafted, where they have the talent on their team. They know some of these guys are going to be due a contract. And I think that's why Tua is getting pushed out here, is like they know their window needs to start.
Yeah, absolutely. Just see what you got. I think the coaching staff, even going in thinking about last year with the Dolphins where they had a nice push there at the end, I think the coaching staff has bought themselves some time no matter what happens this year. I don't think they're all going to get kicked out the door if this doesn't totally work. So I think, yeah, for them, they would rather see, yeah, if it means a couple of less wins, but we get full exposure of Tua. Plus, you mentioned those matchups, Tua versus Burrow. We're going to have Tua versus Kyler, Tua versus Herbert.
Mahomes.
Mahomes. Tons of interesting matchups to him go face-to-face, especially for collectors. That's going to be really fun. Well, let's move on to the running back position. A guy that, look, we've been talking about with the Titans. I think there has been some discussion of who's the MVP of this team. And I feel like Ryan Tannehill's name was getting thrown around early on. But the answer, it feels so obvious after this weekend and seeing what Derrick Henry did to the Texans, a remarkable performance for him. 22 rushes for 212 yards, two touchdowns, including that game winner in overtime. Just incredible what he's done. Even when he's not at his absolute highest level, he's still making headlines. That stiff arm seen round the world was just something to behold a couple weeks ago against the Buffalo Bills. We've talked about running backs before, how it seems to be in the hobby. Running backs are all about the flip game. If you're into that, then you probably want to start flipping those running backs. We saw it with Allaire, a couple other rookie running backs this season. But is Derrick Henry now, after what he's doing this year, after what we saw him do last year, after a huge playoff performance from him, a big playoff push by the Titans, are we at the point now where we can start to consider Derrick Henry a good long-term investment for running backs? And I'll just throw this at you. Right now, he's number one in the league in rushing yards. He is currently on pace for 1,882 rushing yards. That would be the 10th highest total in a single season in NFL history. There's a lot of time left, but, man, this guy, the size, the strength, he's just the full package. Doug, I'll start with you. What do you think? Is he, at this point, as he crossed that threshold, to be in like the same company of like an Adrian Peterson or these guys who are future Hall of Fame running backs, that he should be considered a good long-term investment?
Well, first off, I mean, that to talk about that game last week against the Texans when it was an overtime and they literally lined him up at the goal line in the Wildcat, and I think people that didn't watch football knew what was happening. Obviously, the Texans knew what was going down. It's almost like
everybody knew.
All right, we're going to run with Derrick Henry. Yep. Like, we might as well have just announced it on the PA there. And they couldn't stop him. Yep. He just pretty much got in the end zone at ease. I still am not on the running back train. I just don't think there's enough longevity. I don't think he's going to be in the conversation with Emmitt Smith as far as records being broke. I think we're just in a different era of football. Now, can you make money within this year? Probably. Can you make money next year? Probably. Beyond that, I'm not too sure. Is he going to be in the conversation 10, 20 years from now? Yeah, he's going to be like one of the greatest of that time, I think. But, I mean, he's only really played two full seasons. But I can't see beyond 2024 him being as effective or even being on the Titans anymore, because let's face it, he's gonna want a lot of money
or in the league.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing with the modern day NFL is they've kind of shut down the running backs. Jim Brown's records, Eric Dickerson's records, all these records that have happened were in an era where the football wasn't being thrown like it is now. It was being predominantly run. I mean, you look at Joe Montana's stats. Joe Montana's one of the greatest of all time. Didn't have a lot of passing yards. There was a lot of running going on in the Niners back in the day.
Yeah, I mean, Derrick Henry was 2016, right? So he was the same year as Elliott.
Yeah, and he was behind DeMarco Murray.
Ah, dude. That's what I was good at. That was my whole thing.
Okay. Go ahead. I took your thunder.
Just come in. His cards actually flew under the radar. Everybody was going after Dak and Zeke, and Henry wasn't putting up huge numbers because DeMarco Murray was essentially their running back. So
who did really well that season.
He did really well, and I think even the next year but I think they were like still splitting carries. They had Deion Lewis there, who was like a third down back. So like Derrick Henry, there was no doubt coming out of college was going to be an every down great back in the league. But the Titans like slowly put him into the system.
Yep.
And it wasn't until I think last year where he basically truly separated himself from the rest of the league and became a premier running back. And, you know, in the same realm as the Saquons and the Ezekiel Elliotts of the league. I mean, he, I think, right now is the best running back. He's a big guy. He could run between the tackles, but he also has crazy breakaway speed that you don't necessarily see with a guy who's that big and strong. Mm-hmm. But Doug has a good point. In 2024... the shelf life for running backs in this era is short. And you don't even have to go back that far. You could see a guy like Todd Gurley, who 2015, 2 years, 3 years, best running back in the league.
Yeah, poof. Yeah.
And the Rams just basically let him go.
Yep.
So everything changes really, really fast in that position.
And that's assuming that, like, Derrick Henry doesn't get an ankle broken. Right. I mean, let's knock on wood. I don't wish, you know, injury on any guy, but the running backs are the most injured players on the field. They touch the ball the most. They take the most hits. So, you know,
I want to see
– is he gonna be able to play 5 years, get 1,500 yards a year without getting injured? That is a tough task.
I want to see how the NFL evolves, and you could see it right now with the running back position. Every team seems like they have two to three guys who normally carry the ball on a regular basis. So it's like kind of like a running back by committee. If that keeps on happening, then some of these premier running backs may be able to extend their career out a little bit longer and not get injured and maybe be a little fresher like later on in their career. But they'll never get to the point of running for the same yardage as Barry Sanders and Emmitt Smith and guys like that, because they're just not going to get the touches.
You know, and Ezekiel Elliott may be the last of a dying breed to get that massive contract. I mean, we've seen what happened with...
I think Henry got an extension.
Kamara got a big one this offseason, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, you're seeing, like, look at Lev Bell. Steelers are like, great move. Look at Mel Gordon. I mean, I got a DUI. I mean, he's not hurt, but, like, you know, when these guys want like quarterback money for the running back spot, it's like we could just draft somebody in the second or third round next year and take our chances.
Fourth round, fifth round, sixth round.
Right. It's true.
It seems like there's so much talent in that position in college that you can literally plug a guy who is a fifth round pick into a good offensive line, good system, and they'll run for 1,000 yards.
Yeah.
And that's the key.
Yeah.
I think you mentioned it, the offensive line. I mean, look at what the Niners did last year with, you know, a bunch of, like, three or four guys who all have a big games. Mostert became the guy. Look at Elliott for years. Now Elliott, I feel like they've had some injuries, and Elliott's now fumbling the ball. So it is obviously the talent of the running back, but it is a little bit of your supporting cast too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll to vouch for Henry a little bit, you mentioned it, Dan, just I think that he does kind of have, like, when you're doing like a creative player, like the perfect running back, I feel like you come up with a Derrick Henry type. Yeah. Like he's big, he's tall, he's powerful, he's fast. It's just everything you want from a running back. He's kind of a unicorn right now in the NFL. So I feel like my heart wants to say I think he is going to be one of those guys who bucks the trend and has a long shelf life. But yeah, there's also just this huge list of guys who nearly were the top running back in the league and then just are out of our memory within a year or so. So I'm just having fun watching him right now.
Yep.
And I don't know, though, you know, how long it's going to last. I like to think it's going to last a while. But, yeah, we already talked about it.
I mean, and there's not to say that you can't just pick up a silver or something right now. They're 5-0. They're going to have a playoff game. Probably almost for sure, unless they just somehow tank the rest of the year.
Now's the time. If you're
going to, you know, he has another 200-yard playoff game like he did last year against the Patriots. Those people are going to be looking on eBay for those cards where you can make, you know, that kind of flip kind of thing. But,
and, you know, even just thinking of guys, running backs who have won MVPs, running backs who have gone 2,000 yards. I mean, Sean Alexander's in that group. And, like, he had a nice career, but, like, is anybody trying to flip Sean Alexander cards? Jamal Lewis rushed for 2,000 yards. Where's he now? You know, there's so it's great in the moment. But
Marshall Faulk.
Yeah. I mean, he's a Hall of Famer.
Jamal Charles.
Jamal Charles. I mean, you can get Marshall Faulk cards. You can get all those guys.
For nothing.
I mean, Sean Alexander, you can get his cards really cheap.
Oh, yeah.
I think he just started signing again. There was a couple years you didn't see him in products, but Marshall Faulk pretty much signs in majority of the football releases.
Yeah.
He doesn't sell for as much as he should. It's just that I think it's the concern of the shelf life of running backs. People don't want to throw a lot of money into that position.
And it has a lot to do with these defenses getting bigger, stronger, faster. When you watched Emmitt Smith or you watched Walter Payton or even better yet, Barry Sanders, these guys had bellies on them. These defensive guys had bellies on them. They weren't Bosa or they weren't Von Miller or they weren't Khalil Mack. You know, these guys that are just hitting you so hard that if you're not positioned in the right way, you're going to bend your leg back. You know, and I think that has something to do with the shelf life as well, is that these players are getting bigger and stronger. As I said earlier, it's crazy how much these guys are built. So.
I mean, there's guys like – there's defensive ends like Chandler Jones that, like
– Oh, yeah.
That guy's just a beast, right? But he's also super quick. He, like, could probably almost track down Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys are not only completely ripped – but they're also super fast.
Yeah,
and like you're saying, it's just a different era. And I think that will catch up to the running backs of this era, is just the abuse they take from these physical specimens that are in the league now.
Absolutely.
I mean, not taking away Derrick Henry's a beast as well.
Yeah.
I mean, he can hold his own. But, I don't know. It's hard to say. I mean, hard to say. Like, if I had to bet on it, I would say that Henry at 2024 in 4 years, I would say that he's probably not in the league.
Or he's on a different team.
I think there's no doubt he's on a different team. And he definitely won't be a 1,000-yard rusher in 4 years. And that's blows my mind, because 8 years into Emmitt Smith's career – he was, like, in his prime.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. Frank Gore is, what, 37, 38 years old, still doing what he does, maybe older than that. So, but those guys are, like, one out of a million at this point in the modern NFL.
Well, Frank Gore still goes out there and does it, but Frank Gore is not the Frank Gore that he was,
of course not.
You know, 8 to 10 years ago when he was on the Niners.
Yeah.
Well, when it comes to picks, I'm catching up with you guys.
That's right.
I'm only one game behind now, baby.
That's right. Dan and I are currently tied 8-4. I split last week. Dan split last week. But Doug is making a furious comeback now at 7-5, one game behind us. Well, Doug, you were the only one to go 2-0 last week, so
yeah,
I think it has to start with you. Who you got?
Seems like a trend now for me.
It has been lately. Yeah.
And I didn't pick gimmies. I needed some gimmies to get back into it, so I went a little bit non-conventional this week. I'm going with the Rams over the Bears. The Rams are at home. I know the Bears are 5-1 or 4-1.
That's an ugly
5-1,
though. An ugly 5-1.
Ugly 5-1. And I don't think you're going to be able to contain Aaron Donald 2 weeks in a row. I think he's probably mad at himself right now. He's probably lifting trucks up or something, bench pressing a truck with each hand. He's going to get that quarterback. He's going to get Nick the Quick out there, or whatever they call Nick out there.
I think they call him something else.
They call him something.
They
that,
call
him
big.
If
they
we're
call
trying
him big
to be a kid-friendly show,
Nick.
We can't.
Yeah,
say it.
Not Quick Nick.
And
that's not it.
Quick Nick. But,
replace that
so,
first letter. I think.
And then I'm going with Tom Brady going into what he may have been. You know, he was rumored to call Vegas home for a minute there. I think he goes into Vegas and takes care of the Raiders. And it's Chucky's old team. So they come in. And they beat the Raiders. The Raiders are a little cocky after beating Mahomes. I think they're not really thinking that the GOAT's going to come in there and perform. But the GOAT already took care of one legend. And Derek Carr wishes he was as good as Aaron Rodgers. So I think they come in there and they do business. And so I got the Bucks and I got the Rams.
There you go. Dan, who you got?
Okay, well, I also have the Buccaneers, but it has nothing to do with what Doug was saying. The Raiders offensive line, starting offensive line, all five of them will not be playing this week.
They didn't say for sure. They're testing them still.
I think only
Trent Brown has got COVID.
Pretty sure that they will be a little.
If they have two negative tests, they'll be playing.
They'll be a little. Okay, well.
It's still something to be concerned about. That helped me make.
And the fact that Tom Brady looked like the Tom Brady of old last week.
He
seemed
like a young buck.
I'm not having it. That's almost a guaranteed pick. I think you're kind of downplaying it. That's like the obvious. Cody probably has the same one.
I can tell you I don't. See, I got some different picks for you.
All right, so I'm going Tampa Bay over the Las Vegas Raiders, and then. This one is extremely low-hanging fruit, but I need to get back into winning. I'm going Bills over Jets.
Oh, God.
Battle for New York supremacy.
Mark them
I
down.
Mean...
What's the plus-minus on the sports book on that one? Jesus.
But I need to get back into my winning ways. Can't be messing around anymore.
I don't blame you.
So.
I went with the same thing. I'm just going to pick matchups where I'm like, I gotta get wins this week. So I'm going for the NFC. I got the Packers over the Texans. I think they bounce back against Houston. And then I'm going the Kansas City Chiefs over the Denver Broncos. Those feel like two pretty good gimmies. Although, we'll see. The Broncos, they put up a nice showing.
Could this be the first 6-0 week?
It very well could. Yeah, I was genuinely shocked. I mean, wait a minute. I haven't picked the Packers or the Chiefs.
The Bills
are
negative 575 if you're taking them
on. So you're telling me there's a chance.
They're favored by 11 points.
11 even feels conservative.
I know. It does.
I was going to say, that feels like a -13.5.
I might take a 6-team par. Well, I can't take a 6-team. I could take a 5-team parlay because we have the same pick with the Tampa Bay. But, Tampa Bay, Buffalo, Rams, Packers, and Chiefs.
Yeah.
If I was a betting man.
That's a pretty good lock right there.
5-team parlay.
Was it Bills?
Bills.
Okay.
Packers.
I got to navigate this thing.
You said Rams.
Yeah. Okay.
Rams.
Bovada right now.
Packers.
They're not letting you bet on the Bucks.
Oh, because it's
up in the air.
Yeah.
Ah, yeah.
Packers, right?
Packers.
Do you want to do a backup game in case there is some weirdness that goes on for Sunday, by the way?
I think Tampa Bay just wins.
All right, fair enough. Raiders just forfeit.
They just say, hey, let's just face it. Like, the Raiders probably wouldn't have won this game.
Well,
anyway.
If I took those, the Packers, the Rams, and the Bills, it's only a +148 on that. So.
Yeah, but that's four games?
Three, because
which one are you missing?
I must be missing one, but anyways, we're probably we're having dead air.
Well, what was your
Kansas City? KC. Oh, that's probably gonna lower it if anything. we'll see. Hopefully, there's a game because I want to see Brady versus the Raiders in Vegas.
I do too. Let's hope it works.
I'd like to see it in Vegas, like in person.
Yeah, me too.
That'd be great.
By the way, none of us picked what's probably the game of the week: 5-0 Tennessee. Versus 5-0 Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I saw that one. I avoided it.
No thanks. And then Sunday night, we got the Cardinals versus the Seahawks, another one that should be a really interesting matchup as well.
And then Seattle's back, right? They had a bye. They had a bye. Who are they playing?
Arizona.
Arizona.
Yeah. Sunday
night.
That's now Sunday night.
Yeah, because the Vegas game was Sunday night. They flexed.
Okay, Sunday night. And Kyler looked really good on Monday.
He shines brightest in prime time.
After the first quarter, he was.
So maybe the Seahawks get knocked off this week. But I am not going to pick that.
I will never pick against Cook and Russell Wilson out there. So.
No, definitely not. Best not to bet against Russ the way he's playing this year. So, all right, that's going to wrap it up for this week's edition of the Mojo Break Blitz. Of course, make sure to subscribe to us here on YouTube on Mojo Break Media. And, of course, over at the Mojo Break Card Shop, we got stuff coming over there. And on our main feed, Mojo Break, for all of your live breaks. For Doug and Dan, I'm Cody. We'll talk to you next week on the Mojo Break Blitz.